Yes, right next to you. Yeah. Radiation damage to female reproductive organs in space. Actually, that's something that is, of course, concerning. And so it's contraindicated for a woman to fly in space if she is pregnant. And in fact, they check pregnancy tests right before launch, because we don't know the effect of radiation or weightlessness on fetal development. Radiation is a minor risk for low Earth orbit travel, but it's not extreme. We're actually shielded to some degree by the Van Allen belts, the magnetic field around the Earth. So we have not had any problems with female astronauts and childbearing after spaceflight, or any genetic or cancer type problems either. It's a good question, though. Yes. The question is, what's the mental health of people who have been in space for a long time? And actually, you know, if you consider the people that have been on orbit for a year or more, and there are several Russian cosmonauts who have, that's a really long time away from your friends and family. And the cosmonauts will tell you that 3 months is the perfect amount of time to spend in space, because you're energetic. It's a reasonable amount of time to set your goals to. But beyond 3 months, then things sort of start to drag, and it really calls upon a person to be patient, and to there will be mood swings, things of that nature. But the idea is that the ground and the families will have lots and lots of contact with the crews after that point. They have two-way video teleconferences with their families. They have email capability. They send up the news and videotapes and things like that on the resupply ships. And they try and cheer the crew up as best they can after that three-month mark. And for the most part, they haven't had any real blow-ups among crews on Mir. Is there any maximum amount of time that a person can stay in space? Well, a Russian physician, Dr. Valery Polyakov, spent 438 consecutive days in space on the Mir space station, if you can imagine that. I certainly couldn't, but that's what he did. And he came back after this flight. He exercised very, very intently, and came back in great physical condition. He was actually able to stand up and walk away from his capsule, which is remarkable. There are other limiting factors, probably, radiation being one of them. We have certain radiation standards, at least in the United States, for radiation workers, and that would be a risk that we wouldn't want to exceed. So perhaps radiation would be the limiting factor. So to give you a precise answer, I don't know what the limit is, but it's more than 438 days. Do you grow in space, and if so, how much? Actually, it's really remarkable. Everybody becomes a giant up in space, and I grew, I guess, 3 centimeters on my last flight. Other people have grown as much as 5 and 6 centimeters. And what happens? The intervertebral discs in your back have sort of a cushion there that, because of the fluid shifts that occur in space, they expand, and so does your body. And so it's, all of us want to join the Professional Basketball Association when we come back. But unfortunately, as soon as you touch down, within a couple of hours, all that height's gone. Yes. Is it true that you get special pens to use in space? Yes, actually, you know, a lot of the pens that we have here on Earth, I don't know if I have, just a standard ballpoint pen like this, have a cartridge that's gravity dependent. But in space, we need something that's going to deliver ink to the tip at all times, so there are special pens that work. Yes, you do. You need to, all the hygiene things that you do here on Earth, you do up in space. And it's a little bit more tedious up in space, because to take a shower is impossible. If you had all that free-flowing water, it would be a mess. It would be all over the place. So you have to lather up a towel with some soap and just get soaped up, and then you towel off. There's a special kind of shampoo that you work through your hair. It's rinseless shampoo, so that makes it a lot easier. And then you shave just as you would here on Earth. Oh, cuts and bruises and things like that. Yeah, actually, the same kind of response to, you know, minor traumas that you'd have here on Earth, you'd have up in space. they think that the healing process is a little bit delayed in space for some reason. They think that the immune function may be affected a little bit by being in microgravity, but they're not really clear on that yet. You know, we should be using metric, but at least in the American space program, we still are using Imperial. Now that it's an international space station and we have all the rest of the programs are using the metric system, I think we're finally going to have to force ourselves over to the metric system. That's a very interesting question. If you punch someone in space, would you feel the same kind of force up in space? And actually, what would happen, especially if you were both of you were free-floating and you wanted to punch your neighbor, you would impart a force towards your friend there, and she would go off in that direction, and you would go off the other direction. Yes. Has there been damage to the Mir space station? Oh, have they repaired it? I'm sorry. You know, I've been on travel for the past 2.5 weeks, and I haven't really heard the latest and greatest what's going on board the Mir space station, but I know that they have started the repair work. And I don't think that they've patched the hole yet, though. Well, that's a long story, actually. The question is, how did I managed to get associated with a luge team from a tropical island. First of all, I ought to explain that luge is a Winter Olympic event. It's a sled that goes about 120 kilometers an hour down an icy track, and you can see it at the Nagano Olympics in a few months. But I was training for the U.S. team, and there happened to be an American / Philippine lawyer who decided that he would pick up the sport and try and represent his country at the Olympics. And I was close to making the Olympic team, but I didn't quite make it. So he asked me if I wanted to be his coach, since he was a little bit less experienced. And that's how I managed to do that. They don't have any luge tracks in the Philippines, that's true. Any other questions? Yes. The question was regarding my first mission, the Atlas flight, in which we were studying global ozone distribution and the different chemical constituents that affect ozone production and destruction. And actually, one of the most striking things that we discovered was the extent of the ozone hole. We flew in November, and it was actually at the part of the year when the ozone hole was starting to repair itself, but it was still at the global record, you know, as being one of the worst years ever. And one of the things that we also discovered was a different form of chlorofluorocarbon that had been once thought to be not damaging to the ozone layer was indeed very, very damaging. So we're learning more about things that cause ozone destruction, and hopefully with different treaties in the coming years we'll be able to limit that. Do you feel really claustrophobic up in space? Actually, the space shuttle is very, very tiny. If you ever saw a mock-up of it, it's a very tiny enclosed place, and if you have 8 people in there, especially on Earth, it seems to be very, very tight, and you have to be good friends with your crewmates. But up in space, you're able to float up by the ceiling. You can make use of the volume over by the window. You can do all sorts of different things to make better use of the volume. And actually, up on orbit, it seems quite spacious. Do I believe in aliens? If you're asking about whether or not I believe that we've been visited by UFOs, no, I don't believe in that at all. I certainly have an open mind to it. If someone could show me some proof of that, I'd be very, very interested. But we don't believe that we've ever been visited by an alien craft. However, I do believe that it's quite likely that life evolved elsewhere in the universe. And you may have heard about the Mars meteorite, where early life forms may be present. And that's one of the reasons, the very exciting reasons, that we want to go to Mars. But other very exciting data from the Hubble Space Telescope is now showing us that there are early stages of planetary development in stars, you know, millions of light years away. And with the probability of of Earth-similar planets around many of these other stars in the universe, you've got to think that life could have evolved someplace else. So short answer to your question, I do believe that there is other life in the universe. We just haven't found it yet. Does everything on the mission always go to plan? And no, that's one of the reasons that we send humans into space. Things don't always go to plan. You have to use the human mind to solve problems, make new decisions, and get the most out of the mission. And fortunately on our flight, everything did go quite as expected. We had a few minor malfunctions, but on other flights they've had significant things where they've been able to work around it and still get the mission accomplished. How long before a mission do we get assigned? I believe is the question, is that right? Typically it's about a year before a mission. Some of the more complex science missions about 18 months before launch. Why did they first send dogs and monkeys actually as well into space? And the reason is people really had no idea what the zero gravity and being up in space would do to living beings. And of course the Russians sent up a dog named Laika into space. And Laika did fine until she ran out of air, unfortunately. And then the U.S. space program sent several chimpanzees, I believe, up into orbit before we sent the first astronauts. And that was just basically to test out the life support systems and to make sure that living beings could work and operate in space. I believe the question was, is it possible to take up a cold or an infection up into space on our mission? Actually, it is, and so what we do is go into quarantine about 1 week prior to launch, and that's done so that astronauts aren't around young children, folks that would potentially expose us to microorganisms, and people who are allowed to be around us have to go undergo a flight physical to make sure that it's safe for them to be around us. The reason being, having a cold in space would really be a disadvantage. So most viruses run their course within 7 days anyway. That's the reason for the 7 day period. Well, I think that, we'll do one last question here. Yes. Do you have normal sleeping patterns in space? Actually, yes. We're going around the Earth, as you know, every 90 minutes, and there's lots of different light-dark cycles. But we work off of a flight plan, and we're allotted 8 hours a day to sleep. And I don't know if you noticed in the movie, but several of us were wearing two, even three watches. One was for Houston-based time. Another might be for Moscow time because we were working with the Russians. But the third one, and the most important, is mission elapsed time, and that's what our flight plan is on. So if it tells us when we're supposed to be up and working and when we need to be in bed. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for just a great set of questions. I really enjoyed visiting with you today, and I wish you all the very best in your education, and hope you pursue science if you can. Thank you.
I'll call on Penny Mays.
Okay, on behalf of everybody here today, I'd like to thank Dr. Parazynski for his talk and for the effort he made to come out to Melbourne. This is his only Melbourne stop, so we're really grateful for that. And we'd like to wish you all the best for your future and a safe and comfortable flight home. And I'd like to present you with the traditional Mukrob spoon. As a small token of our thanks and our appreciation.
Thank you very much.